We're studying from the book of John. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to that study in the Gospel according to John, John's account. Each of these four Gospel accounts are somewhat different. In the book of John, for instance, you will not read about the genealogy of Christ. Not read about the birth of Christ. Many think that the other books, the other accounts of Matthew, Mark, and Luke had been written prior to John, and that when John was led to write what he wrote, that he had one main purpose in mind, and he set out to follow that purpose. I think that purpose is stated in John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. We've looked at this verse a number of times before. When John says, is he not quite near the end of his book, but in the next to the last chapter, he says, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. In other words, there are many other things that Jesus did that are not written in the book that John has written. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. We know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10, 17. And so we're seeking to increase our faith, to add a spark to that faith that may need reignited. And John is the book in God's Word that can do that for us. John begins really before the other accounts began. He begins back at the very beginning of the world. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. And there wasn't anything created that wasn't created by this Word that he's referring to. Down in verse 14 of chapter 1, he says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So, and then later, John says specifically that he's speaking about Christ. Along about this time, too, John introduces us to a man by the name of John. John is a cousin of Jesus. He's, as I recall, a get it mixed up sometimes, but he's 6 months older than Jesus is. And we talked about his coming, his purpose last week, the week before. John came for the purpose of being a road preparer for the king. He was a way preparer. He came to prepare the way. He was the one in the same cut, you might say, of cloth as was Elijah. He would go before Jesus and prepare the way for him. And you might ask, well, how did he prepare the way? Well, through his preaching. He preached about the kingdom. He preached that individuals need to repent of their sins in order to have them forgiven. And he spoke about Jesus. He told about Jesus, the one who was to come after him, that he was not worthy even to reach down and loosen or tie the laces of his shoes. And so he didn't want himself to be misinterpreted as being the coming Messiah. But he was the one to present the Messiah, to prepare the way. For after all, after Jesus was born, he came back to Jerusalem at 8 days of age. And I guess he probably came back at the Passovers. But the next account we have in God's Word is when he was 12 years old, meeting with the men in the temple, being left behind, discussing things with the men at the temple. And then from age 12 to about 30, we don't hear from him again until we hear the voice of one crying in the wilderness. The people go out to the Jordan River in that area to hear him. If you look on a map, because sometimes I don't get as inquisitive and as curious as I need to yet, but you might think, well, they just dropped outside of town, you know, on a leisurely stroll for 5 to 15 minutes, 10 to 15 minutes. And they didn't have anything else to do. They went by to see John. Well, if you notice, the Jordan River. The Jordan River doesn't run through Jerusalem and Judea. The Jordan River was a little bit of a distance away from the city of Jerusalem. So some of these folk went quite a distance to hear what this man had to say. And so he was introducing to Jesus. First time we see Jesus come on the scene in the book of John is John sees him afar off and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world." And so we are introduced to Jesus by John the Baptist. Jesus did not just come up on the scene and say, "Folks, here I am." That really wasn't the way to get it done. God said, "We'll send someone to prepare the way, someone ahead of you." And so John the Baptist was that one. In fact, the head honchos of the Jews, you might say, in Jerusalem were concerned about this man John, because a whole bunch of folks were going out from Jerusalem and Judea to see him and hear him and listening to what he had to say. And they'd had other rebel rousers to arise before who tried to cause trouble. And they did a little, you know, they'd cause a little bit of trouble, then they'd go away. The Jews who were in power because the Roman government allowed them to be in power. And they felt that if there was too much going on that the Roman government might disapprove of, such as John the Baptist getting a group following, that might not be good for their livelihood, that might not be good for their prestige or their power. So they went out to talk to John and to ask him who he was. They wanted to know, you know, are you the Christ? Are you the one that was to come in the form of Elijah? Are you Elijah? Exactly what they said. They were expecting him to come in flesh and blood. Are you that prophet? The prophet that Moses said that would arise like unto him. And then they just said, "Okay, we've got to go back and give an answer to these folks back in Jerusalem. Tell us who you are. If you're not any of those, who are you?" And he says, "I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. I'll make you the way straight, the road preparer for the king." Today, though, we want to look at some other verses in the book of John, some other things about the book of John. And we want to look down at verse 35. If you've got your Bible, turn to John 1:35. And reading down through the end of the chapter, and then we'll make a few comments about that. If we give our sermon a title, I'd probably title it, "They Followed Jesus." They followed Jesus. How is Jesus to get any followers? He hasn't been preaching, evidently. Maybe he's been preaching some prior to this particular time, but we have a count over in Matthew, but maybe not. So it says, "Again the next day after John stood," this is John the Baptist, "and two of his disciples, followers of John, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, 'Behold the Lamb of God.' And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus." So how did Jesus get his first two followers? John says, "There he is. You know, you've been looking for the one. I'm not the one. I've been telling you I'm not the one, the Messiah. But he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And he had already told them that back in verse 29. So the disciples heard him speak. They needed no more. They followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said unto them, "What seek ye?" In other words, what are you looking for? They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" Where do you abide? He saith unto them, "Come and see." That'd be a good message for folks today, wouldn't it? Folks wanting something out of life, and they're wondering, well, what's Jesus like? And you're talking to them about Jesus and about the gospel, and you say, "Come and see. Let's open up the word together. Come and see." And Jesus says, "Just follow me and come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. I take that to be about 4 o'clock. And one of the two which heard John speak, that is one of these two followers of John that picked up and followed Jesus, one of them was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. But he doesn't name the other one. Most people think it was John because John never refers to himself as John. I don't know, just modest that way or what. But he didn't say it. One of the two which heard John speak, John the Baptist, and followed him was Andrew. And that never says what. So we got two people following him, but one of them's Andrew. We don't know who the other one is. Likely John. But then he said, this Andrew was Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. This is the promised one. This is the one that the Jews had been waiting for. And he brought him to Jesus. Andrew brought Peter to Jesus. He didn't do a whole lot, did he? One time he had a little boy's lunch. He noticed a little boy's lunch so Jesus could feed a whole bunch of people. We don't hear much about Andrew. But look what he did. He brought Peter to Jesus. We hear a whole lot about Peter, don't we? He brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following Jesus, so now we've got three. Andrew, probably John, and Peter. The day following, Jesus would go forth to Galilee and find his Philip. Saith unto him, follow me. And Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. He's learning, isn't it? Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? Where did we ever know each other? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. They followed Jesus. Or, second title could be, come and see. Two of John's disciples. So John had done his work. You know, as you look at these other men, you wonder, well, how did Andrew go nearby and get Peter? And how did Jesus find Philip? And how did Philip find Nathanael? It seemed like they were all a similar area, not too far off the distance-wise, anyway, from each other. And many think that they likely all were followers of John. Based upon what they say, and based upon the short amount of time it takes them to make the decision to follow Jesus, it appears that they have been taught. It appears that their minds have been prepared. It doesn't say that for sure, so that's kind of a reading between the lines. But we know that John and Andrew and likely Peter had been followers of John. But they followed Jesus. In verses 18 and 19 of 1 Peter 1, Peter talked about this Lamb of God, which would take away the sins of the world. He said, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as Peter looks back on the time that he spent with Christ and that which happened to Christ while he was upon earth. He says, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation or your manner of life that was received by tradition from your fathers, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So later, don't know whether Peter heard him say, you know, behold the Lamb of God, but he knew who Jesus was. And this echoes the words that Isaiah had prophesied of long ago, long before, Isaiah 53 verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to slaughter, and as a sheep before shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. The lamb, the perfect sacrifice of the perfect lamb, as we talk about Jesus and his shedding his blood on the cross. So we see that we have Andrew and John both coming, and likely John, coming to Jesus as a result of being followers initially of John the Baptist and his teaching as he prepared the way for Christ. In verses 41 and 42, we have the Apostle Peter being brought to Jesus. Jesus saw him and he said, "Thou art Simon." A little background on the name Simon. I found some place that said that some think that he was named for Simeon. I didn't recall this from the Old Testament, but going back and checking, one of the sons of Jacob was named Simon or Simeon. And this was said of that son by his daddy, by his father. Simeon, it was said about Simeon and also said about Levi. Genesis 49 verses 5 and 7. Simeon and Levi are brothers. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. Their name, that name Simeon, meant one who was unreliable, one who was cruel. But then Jesus said to Peter, or to Simeon, Simon Peter, "Thou shalt be called Cephas." In other words, I'm going to change your name. Don't like the word, don't like the meaning of the word, that name you've got now. Let's change that to Cephas, which is being by interpretation a stone, or Peter, both the meaning a stone. And so he was to become stable. He was to become reliable, rather than like his original namesake, Simeon. Then these individuals were brought to Jesus, but if you notice, in verse 43 concerning Philip, it says that Jesus would go forth into Galilee and he finds Philip. So he located Philip himself. I don't know what there was about this particular man that caused him to say, you know, you come follow me. You know, one day later he will find Matthew, who is a publican, tax collector. And he asked Matthew, just come follow him. Something about this individual that he knew that he needed him or wanted him to be a follower. So the next day, after Peter becoming a follower, we find that Jesus goes to Philip and simply says, "Follow me. Follow me." Philip was from the same place, the Bible says, as was Andrew and Peter, the town of Bethsaida, which is up on the northern side of the Sea of Galilee. You can get a picture of the Dead Sea down here at the bottom on the map, and the Jordan River going up, or coming from, really, up in the Sea of Galilee up there. I'm kind of simple that way. That's the way I remember things. So anyway, have a picture of mine. But then we have another individual that becomes a follower of Jesus. And he's a skeptical individual. He's a little bit leery. He's a little bit more questioning. He's not like Philip. You go up and say, "Follow me," and Philip just follows. In John 1, 45 and 50, we see that Philip is already getting mission-minded, isn't he? He's already seeing what a follower needs to do. A follower of Jesus needs to find other followers of Jesus. Jesus said, "Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations." That means make followers. Followers. Jesus wants followers. And so Philip is somewhat mission-minded, as Andrew was. Andrew got his brother Peter. And so Philip talks to Nathanael. And unlike Peter, Nathanael is not initially impressed with what Philip has to tell him. And in verse 45, he says, Philip tells him, we found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said, you got to be kidding. From Nazareth? That's not exactly sure exactly how he meant that, except it wasn't impressive to him that this little bitty town, whether he was looking at it from the standpoint of wouldn't you expect him to come from Jerusalem? But it said that Nathanael probably was from Cana of Galilee, which is maybe a nearby competitive type town. And Nathanael says, well, you know, there's nothing good going to come out of that town, at Nazareth. So I don't know what exactly the implication, but we know Jesus lived in Nazareth. We know that the Bible speaks of him as Nazarene. Not giving him a religious title, but just the fact that he was from a particular city, like we would most of us be called Nashvillians, because we are from Nashville. Has no religious significance or other significance. In verse 46, we have a response, Nathanael's response, anything good come out of Nazareth? And note what Philip says. I don't know whether Philip's just picked up those three words from what Jesus had said earlier. But he says, come and see. He says, tell you what, you just come on and you meet him. You talk to him. You hang around with him a while and you're going to see who he is. And so Nathanael comes on to Jesus along with Philip. Now, he's not a follower right now. Notice in verse 47, Jesus saw him. Saw him coming, and he said, first of all, he said, behold, an Israelite in whom is no guile. Now, the Israelites were known at that time for being very deceitful. They'd lie to you, and they'd deceive you in just about any way they could. But Jesus knew this was a man of morals, and in essence, it's a compliment. Here's a descendant of Jacob, who is moral. He's not an immoral individual. He's not deceitful as many of the Jews are. And Nathanael said, you know, after Jesus said that, we've never met, have we? I mean, that's about what we would say today. When did you ever meet me? How did you hear about me? Where did you get this knowledge? Jesus said, well, before you came up over that hill, before you came over that rise, I saw you back when nobody else could have seen you. I saw you back when you were under that fig tree. Yeah, nobody could have. I didn't see you, you know, he was thinking. And so he knew something supernatural was going on here, something beyond. And so he had enough background. Nathanael had enough background concerning Jesus, apparently from John or others, to know exactly who he was. Rabbi or teacher, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. He said, I now believe. See, before Philip said, you know, we found the one that the prophets and the law said would come, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said, almost like doubting Thomas, I won't believe until I see. Well, now he has seen. That's what Philip's told him. Come and see. He came, he saw, and he was impressed. He was impressed. Though he was not impressed before just by word of mouth. He had to see for himself. Many today, that will translate today. Many need, who are either gone away from Jesus, need to come back and see what a difference being with Jesus makes. What a difference Jesus makes in their lives. Come and see. Come and see. Nathanael was shocked that Jesus had known about him. He was shocked. But more than that, he became a believer. John said, John the writer said, we're going to write some things in this book that's going to help you to believe. and get to the point of belief where you can have eternal life. You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he's given us these and telling us of these events where other people believed based upon what they saw. Jesus came to this earth and he dwelt among us. We're not talking about some cloud or some mysterious looking situation that was hidden away, but Jesus was an actual man who came, walked the earth. He lived among us. He could feel, he could see, he could hear, he could know. Thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Some conclude that each of these five individuals were followers of John before they were followers of Jesus. And if that's so, John had done a good job, didn't he? He'd been the way preparer. And one of the things that Jesus needed to have accomplished is to have some individuals who would take him for who he was, who would believe in him, and who would believe in him right away to help form a nucleus of believers. A nucleus of believers from which his gospel could be spread. His message could be spread. Eventually, it would increase to 12 as a nucleus. By the time we get to Acts chapter 1 in Jerusalem, there were 120 followers. Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 15 that there were many as 500 individuals who saw Jesus resurrected. The resurrected Jesus. There were many as 500 that saw him at one time, I believe is what he says. So there was evidence in the first century. And that evidence is being presented by John. He's telling you, he says, these things happened. These people were real people. And Jesus was a real person walking and talking among men. And this is how he got started in his ministry. These individuals believed in him. And they followed him. And that's how it began. That's how his ministry started. They followed Jesus. There may be someone here this morning who's not a follower of Jesus. Jesus would say, come and see. Come and see. Come into my world, the world of the first century, the world of the New Testament, and learn of me. Come and learn of me, he says, and he'll take care of our weariness, he'll take care of our burdens. And as John said, as John preached, John the Baptist preached for repentance, for the forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of sins and the problem of sin is still the major problem of people today as it was back then. All the sin separates from God, Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 said. It still does. If we're in sin, living in sin and not living with Christ and not have Christ and God on our side, we're not in obedience to His will, we are separated from God at this very moment. And should we remain the same as we are today without repenting of our sins, sin will remain separated from God throughout our lives and throughout eternity. That's a sad state of affairs to think about. But we have hope in Christ. We have hope in Christ. And we have one who is willing to forgive us of those sins and to have them washed away if we will come in obedience to His will. Believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and confessing that before this group. Repenting of our sins, then to be baptized as the Bible commands us. That those sins might be washed away and arise from baptism to walk a new life in Christ. No longer separated by sin. No longer separated from God. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He did then. He still does now. That blood is still effective. If you're not a Christian, why not come to Christ today? If you are a Christian, you need our prayers. Wish to rededicate your life to Christ. You have the opportunity to do that as we stand and sing this song with Jerry. Shall we stand?